My parents, from whom I sought protection and understanding at night during these years, mostly in the middle of the bed, dismissed all my descriptions and feelings as just fantasy. But this strange, unknown thing that frightened me made my life very difficult and, interestingly, my thoughts always wandered into the distance of space. I intuitively felt that I could find the answers to my questions there. Somehow I knew even then that there was life up there, probably more than I could ever imagine, and that it was somehow connected to me out there. But what scared me most were hospitals. As a child, I literally panicked when my tonsils were to be removed. My mother couldn't calm me down, and sedatives didn't help either. But I couldn't even say exactly what really scared me about it. The sterile rooms, the examinations, the white coats. At some point when I was about 11 years old, I had one of my first strange experiences. My friends and I were playing in a meadow when we discovered a strange circle in the middle of it. It looked burnt in some way, but it wasn't. We asked the farmer who owned the field, but he just said that he also had no idea what this circle represented or where it could have come from. So we didn't think any more about the incident and soon forgot about it. It was only in adulthood that this event came back to my consciousness. When I was busy looking into UFO sightings and crop circles, I suddenly realized that our circle must have been a landing site for a UFO, as they were often described and depicted in popular UFO literature. Nevertheless, I did not attach any further importance to the matter. The years passed without anything notable happening in this regard. It was then in mid-1992 when I met my current wife, Karen, and my life was about to change completely. She triggered strange feelings in me, and my interest in UFOs grew ever greater. It was evidently something to do with her presence, because suddenly I started having these inexplicable fears at night that I had not had for many years. There was something about Karen that made all this come back, but what? In October 1992, I also started having extremely strange dreams. I had the feeling that something was in the bedroom watching me, and I woke up every time, drenched in sweat. I just felt completely helpless, but even worse was the inability to move that overcame me. I had the feeling that the whole room was contracting. I was also unable to wake Karen. I was paralyzed. After one of these dreams, which were actually always very real, almost too real, after my ability to move had slowly returned, I woke Karen up and, as pale as death, told her what had happened. I was totally upset, the fear was so deep inside me. Karen had fear, because even though she was asleep, she wanted to help me in the dream and lure away this unknown, which was identifiable without an actual form. Was it perhaps not a dream at all? Perhaps there really had been something in our bedroom, but what? Despite my growing interest in the so-called UFO phenomenon, at that time I saw no connection between it and my dreams and the fears associated with it. That changed suddenly when one evening, it was Christmas 1992, we watched the Hollywood film Intruders, which was supposedly authentic reports from patients that were collected by an American psychiatrist and published because of their obvious parallels. All of these patients reported that they had been taken on a spaceship by small gray beings at night and examined in some way. One thing they had in common was that as a result of the examinations, all of the patients had small scars on their legs, stomachs or arms where something had either been inserted or removed from these people. When we saw this in the film, we got goosebumps one after the other, because we both had the same scars as the patients in the film, circular ones that were completely identical to each other. Neither of us could remember where we got these scars from. One morning they were suddenly there, but slowly something dawned on us. We suspected that there was more to it. It couldn't just be science fiction. And so we found out a little later that this film was actually based on so-called abduction experiences that had been investigated by the UFO researcher Bud Hopkins. After this aha moment, we naturally couldn't let go of the matter, and we tried to find out more about these so-called abductions by researching books and lectures. I came across the book Contacts by Dr. Johannes Fabag, which also contained these abduction reports and a photo of a German woman with the same scars as Karen and I had. So another clue for us. Inspired by this photo, we wrote to Dr. Fibag and met him in December 1994 when he had arranged a meeting of such abductees near Hanover. We were fascinated by the report, but at the same time we had a queasy feeling. On the one hand, we had the same scars as the others, including the nightmares and fears, but we still found it very difficult to believe that this could really affect us too. Through all our research and the search for answers, we had been forced to deal with esotericism and ufology so intensively that we decided to open an esoteric bookshop. Not only for the reason of bringing such literature to the public, but also to attract like-minded people. After initially offering mainly esoteric literature, this changed over time to a dominant offer of UFO books, and we also held a meeting for UFO enthusiasts one evening a month. We simply felt a strong need to become active in this direction and to inform people about such events. But at that time we simply did not want to acknowledge our own connection. It is interesting to note that the absolute bestseller in our bookshop by far was Jan van Helsing's books, which, incidentally, also opened our eyes. A week after I had read the first volume myself, I dreamed that I would meet Jan personally at some point and that a friendship would even develop between us, and that is what happened. Through intensive engagement with esotericism, my own awareness and self-discovery had of course also progressed and I began to polish my own life and my destiny. I said to myself about my dreams, "No, that's enough now, I don't want to be afraid anymore," and through mental training, conscious control of my thoughts and observation of my emotional world, I slowly but surely managed to conquer my fear and look at everything from a different perspective. I came to the conclusion that the experiences I had that made me afraid were not because they were actually bad or frightening events, but because of this damned ignorance that tormented me, not knowing what was actually happening to me. So I decided to just let things happen, with the attitude that I would see the meaning at some point. As a result, my fear gradually gave way to growing curiosity. Evidently, by letting go, I had given my subconscious an impulse. Because an extremely strange dream came over me one night. It was so overwhelming, and also so indicative of the true events, that I would like to include it here. Karen and I were somewhere in a huge skyscraper, there were many people there, all very elegantly dressed. Suddenly I heard a telepathic command in my head. I left the room and went into an adjoining room, in front of which a spaceship or flying saucer was floating at the window. Two small, grayish creatures floated through the window like ghosts and greeted me. These creatures looked similar to those shown in the film Intruders, but I didn't feel any fear. It seemed as if I had known them for a long time. In my mind I heard a voice that seemed to come from one of these creatures and that told me to call Karen telepathically, which worked, because suddenly she was standing in front of me. We had to lie down and the small creatures touched our foreheads with a metal rod. The resulting pressure on my forehead was strange. After a few minutes we were allowed to get up again and the beings floated back into their spaceship. Having woken up by this dream, I lay in bed and could still clearly feel the pressure on my forehead. Karen also had this pressure on her forehead, after which we realized that we had both had the same dream. And the pressure on our foreheads lasted the whole day. It became increasingly clear to us that we were obviously part of this scenario, that we also experienced such abductions, but could not remember them in our waking consciousness. There had to be another dream, or should I say vision, before we could really take action. This vision from April 1994 looked like this. It was a beautiful summer day and I was on a street when suddenly the sky darkened and hundreds, even thousands of spaceships of all kinds appeared in the sky. Karen was the two and we watched this spectacle calmly and calmly. It obviously didn't surprise us at all, in fact, the opposite was the case. We were fascinated by what was happening. But the other people panicked completely and ran around in horror. They didn't understand what was happening. The chaos was indescribable, and it was also very frightening to see the reactions this event was apparently triggering in ignorant people. People who knew us came up to us and shouted, "Help me, help me." But we couldn't. We had warned our friends and acquaintances years ago and told them about this day of the landing of extraterrestrials that would come at some point. But they had just laughed at us. We had told them that the day would come when our solar system would undergo a transformation and the Earth would be raised to a higher frequency level, and that the people who had consciously opened themselves to these energies would also survive this transformation. We also told them that they should learn to let go of their material possessions, to learn to live in simplicity and in unity with nature again. But our words found no fertile ground. Suddenly we saw a huge man, probably around 2.5 meters tall, wearing a long black coat and a large black hat. On the way to him we felt an indescribable love and familiarity with this person. He smiled at us and said, "Children, now it is time to go home." Then he spread out his coat and we slipped under it. And at that moment something powerful, incredible happened that can hardly be described in words. Karen and I were pulled up towards one of the spaceships and dissolved into pure light, into pure energy. It was the most perfect feeling I had ever experienced in my life. Then we noticed from above many, very many people wandering around, crying or raging. They also wanted to be pulled to this man and into a spaceship. But it was not possible. The black men explained to them that this energy would burn people who had not transformed their own frequency or magnetic field through a conscious and loving life. Only people who had followed their intuition, their inner voice and had their hearts in the right place could tolerate this energy, the beam of light. Some tried it despite his warning and burned in the glaring light. This happened simultaneously in all places in the world. Many had lived their lives according to the principle of love and had therefore reached the necessary vibration frequency to be beamed onto a spaceship by the beam of light. But the great mass of people didn't make it. We saw it with sadness. Many more could have made it, but they didn't want to know anything about all these things. Suddenly my vision ended. It is only today burned into my memory. A month later, in May 1994, we had our first physical UFO sighting. Together with a few witnesses, we saw a large silver disc that was performing strange flight maneuvers. It could never have been an airplane or anything like that, as they cannot perform zigzag flight maneuvers. It was a moving event and we knew that it would definitely not be the last time. A deep joy and inner peace overcame us. The events intensified and it was the year 1995 that brought about the greatest changes to date. This year also saw the so-called key experience that would trigger the breakthrough in our case and abruptly change the life of the entire family. It was the night of January 30th to 31st, 1995. We went to bed early as usual, but this time there seemed to be something in the air, a certain tension. The television was disturbing. For example, but otherwise this evening seemed somehow different. We knew that something was going to happen. The cats were also meowing anxiously and disturbedly, different from usual. We had experienced something like this a few times before, but never as intensely as on this evening. "Maybe we'll have visitors tonight," we joked, laughing. If only we had known how close we were to reality when we said that. I couldn't get to sleep. I was very restless inside, turning to the right, then to the left, and a burning heat rose up inside me. At some point, I don't remember when, I finally fell asleep. Suddenly I woke up abruptly and felt like I had just fallen into bed. I felt the fall very clearly and opened my eyes in shock. I was lying on my back and turned to the left to look at the clock. It was 6:30 in the morning and I could clearly hear Karen's son Marcus playing on the computer. He is a computer fan. I was 100% awake, so I was definitely not dreaming. With this realization that I was fully awake, I turned from my side onto my back again and then I saw her, fully conscious. I was very frightened at first, but when I had exhaled again, I lay there completely still, completely fascinated by the sight. About 2 meters away, I saw a small gray creature with an oversized head and two huge insect-like black eyes standing at the window. I could see it clearly because the shutter was only halfway down and a street lamp was installed nearby. It was bright enough to see everything clearly. I could only look into this creature's large, dark eyes. My gaze was drawn to him as if by magic, and I could no longer turn away from him. All the power came from his eyes, which literally immobilized me and meant that I was no longer able to scream or move. I was paralyzed. I was familiar with this state from previous dreamlike experiences, but the difference was that this time I was awake. I finally managed to tear myself away from the creature's gaze and saw a second creature watching me. To my astonishment, I noticed that there was something else, something larger, standing between my wife's bed and the bedroom door. It was a large, semi-materialized creature, human-like, almost exactly 2 meters tall. I can say this so precisely because this creature was standing in front of our closet and its head was at the same height as the top edge of the closet. Unfortunately, I could only make out the outline of this large creature, in contrast to the small gray ones that were completely real in the room. But they were the outline of a normal human being. My gaze slid to the bedroom door, and there I noticed something very fascinating. There I saw a third small, humanoid being that just came through the closed bedroom door, as if the door didn't exist at all. It was crazy. I just lay there calmly and watched everything as if I were in a film. After about 4 to 5 minutes, these three beings dissolved into thin air. They literally dematerialized and disappeared as if they had never existed. Since I had lost all sense of time, I could only roughly estimate how long it had all taken. I can only repeat it again and again, it was absolutely real. The experience not only confirmed my feeling, as described by Dr. Fibag, of being picked up at night, but also my inner suspicion that these small gray beings were not acting alone. But that contradicted all the reports. Other abductees, most of whom came from the USA, and who basically only talk about these little gray creatures. But with me it was significantly different, as it soon turned out. When the creatures had disappeared, I was finally able to move completely again and regained control of my body. I immediately woke Karen, who reacted immediately, and told her what I had just experienced. She listened to me intently and just said, "Oh, I would have liked to have seen her too." In the background we could still hear our son playing on the computer. He hadn't noticed any of this. Now I had final proof that all of my dreamlike experiences over many years had not been nightmares, but had actually happened. Just on a different level of consciousness. Every person who sleeps is in an altered state of consciousness, and it is precisely at this time that these creatures make contact with us. It is of course very difficult to prove this, since such reports are always immediately presented as imagination or over-the-top fantasy. I must admit that I have often doubted my own mental health. But regardless of existing scars or other physical relics of nightly pickups, there is a way to find out whether such experiences are fantasy or reality: hypnosis. But in this particular case I had experienced a very real event and was therefore 100% certain that I was not crazy. Apparently there was a deeper reason why I was confronted with this physical contact. Furthermore, it took away my last doubts, strengthened my backbone to remain steadfast, carry on and pass on what I had experienced to other people. Even with the knowledge that I would be labeled as a nutcase. After all these experiences, even with the best will in the world, I was no longer able to push the UFOs out of my life, and I made a decision that I had actually been putting off for quite some time, and that would probably be one of the most important decisions in my life. I decided to undergo regressive hypnosis. I wanted to finally get to the bottom of the matter and wanted to know why these beings had come to me and, above all, where they were taking me. On May 1, 1995, the moment of truth had arrived. While others went on a trip into the countryside that day, I set off on a journey into the inner self, into the unconscious. It was a strange feeling, not knowing what to expect, and I was therefore quite excited. I knew that it could turn into a nightmare, but I didn't want to think about it. I felt strong enough inside to take this risk, and my urge to find out more was stronger than the worry that something bad could come out of it. Dr. Henning Alberts, a neurologist and psychiatrist from Stuttgart, whom I had met at the meeting with Dr. Fibag, explained to me exactly how everything would go and had a detailed conversation with me, at the same time calming my inner unrest. He explained to me that if things got unpleasant, I would always be in control of the situation and not at the mercy of things. I had great trust in him and was able to relax deeply quickly and without any major problems. First hypnosis session on May 1, 1995. It only took a short time and my subconscious was ready to release information that had remained hidden deep within me. We have decided to recount this and the next two hypnosis sessions in narrative form, as they are easy to read this way. This makes it possible to include details that Raina noticed during the hypnosis but did not verbally express. Since the text should remain as true to the original as possible, it may be that in some places it is rather childish and in others even grammatically incorrect. The original text in the question and answer system, but censored, can be found in Raina and Karen's first book The Immensity of Being. We will start the session at the point where it becomes interesting for us. Raina. It is 11 p.m. and I am tossing and turning restlessly in bed. Dr. A. What happens now? Raina. The hours pass, I suddenly wake up, I cannot tell the time. It is pitch black in the room, I estimate it to be around 2 a.m. now. My whole body is burning hot, but I don't feel any physical pain. A strange presence seems to be spreading through the room, I can't see anything, but I feel that there is something in the room watching me. Oh, what is happening now? The room suddenly becomes bright, the whole room fills with blue light. I lie motionless in bed, unable to move. This feeling of helplessness overwhelms me massively. Now the room becomes foggy, the whole room is flooded with a strange impenetrable fog. Now I can see a figure, it is small, delicate, perhaps 4 feet tall, with a disproportionate head and insect-like, black, slanted eyes. Dr. A. Do you know this being? Raina. Yes, I have known this being for a long time, he is my friend, I have known him since my earliest childhood, since I was born. He speaks to me and says that I need not be afraid. Now he comes towards me, he comes to the side of my bed and puts his hand on my forehead. It feels strange, somehow different, cold, as if the hand of this being was too cold. Now that strange feeling comes again, my whole body, every cell, is flooded with a strange energy. I feel clearly that my body is changing. I become very heavy and light at the same time. I lose all sense of my body, as if I no longer had a physical body. At this moment I feel very calm inside and see two other beings gliding ghostly through the bedroom door. Oh! Now my whole body is twitching again. I am floating, I see myself floating, a meter above the bed. I also see Karen clearly, sleeping soundly to my right. Despite everything, I feel very comfortable in this situation. Now I can clearly feel an unstoppable force pulling me upwards. It feels as if you were standing in an elevator that was going up at an incredibly high speed. I fly away, further and further away. Suddenly the situation changes and I am in a completely different, strange place. I see myself lying on a table, on a large, white table. Now I can see my friend clearly again. He is standing at the side of the table and is holding my hand. He tells me not to be afraid. I feel completely calm inside and don't feel any fear at all. Suddenly I notice a door opening, but it is not a normal door as we imagine it, but a door that opens from bottom to top. Now I see a larger figure entering the room, approximately 2 meters, but I can't see it clearly. It's as if I had a veil in front of my eyes. I can only see a shadowy figure, not clearly describable. The only thing I can see clearly are his hands. He is wearing white gloves. What is he doing there? He is touching me, he is examining me. He is also talking to me. Strange, because his voice sounds different than when the little creatures communicate with me. It sounds human. He is not talking to me in his thoughts either, like the little gray ones, but rather he speaks with his mouth. He speaks German, but I cannot recognize him. He tells me that he needs something from me. He needs my sperm. I agree, because subconsciously I know that it serves a higher purpose. Now I feel him putting something over my penis and a machine running. I am even aroused. I feel something rubbing against my penis and I have an orgasm. The sperm is passed on to a container. This man now comes to me, strokes my head and thanks me. Now this strange feeling comes over me again. I can clearly feel my body becoming heavy and light and I lose all physical feeling. I feel as if I am floating, but that cannot be, because I see my little friend and I leaving the room and walking through a tunnel-like room. Suddenly, as if by magic, a door opens again to our left and my friend asks me to enter this room. I see lots of children there. I have to laugh out loud. The children are happy to see me and ask me to play with them. Strange. The children look different than we imagine. But they don't look inhuman or repulsive, on the contrary. They have beautiful, very large blue and green eyes, a very high forehead and long blonde hair. And the eyes have something magically fascinating. It seems as if they are a cross between us humans and someone else, but who? I am aware that I have been here several times and have seen these children, we know each other. I also know why I am here. These children must learn from me what human feelings are. I stay in this room for about an hour and play with the children. All the children. There must have been six or seven of them, gather around me, hold my hands and feel my body. I feel strange feelings. I look into their big eyes and feel their thoughts. I am emotionally completely confused. I have the inner feeling that they are a part of me and that is why I have these emotional outbursts. Now my little friend comes back into the room and asks me to come with him. The children are still holding my hands and it is difficult for me to leave them behind. I ask my friend when I can see the children again and he assures me very quickly that I should not worry. The path leads us through a long tunnel-like corridor and another door opens. I enter this room and recognize the control room, command center. We are standing in the front third of the room and I can clearly see that I am in space. This room contains several viewing windows and you can see out into space. So I assume that I must be outside the Earth's atmosphere. To my surprise, I notice that two other beings, identical to my friend, are at the front control panel of the control room. Strangely, I immediately notice that these little creatures are much too small to operate the control panels, as their body size is just 10 centimeters taller than the control panel system. The chairs that I see are also very large and actually designed in such a way that only very large creatures can fit comfortably in them. On the left side of the room I see two couches, which I assume serve as a place to relax. But these are also very large, longer than 2 meters. To my right I can see a three-dimensional star map. My friend then explains to me that they lived there. It must be very far away. I can see a seven-star constellation that has the shape of a paper kite. As I am not an astronomer, I do not know which constellation this constellation is in, but I suspect that it is the constellation Orion. After my friend has shown me the control room in detail, he leads me back out and shows me their embryo rearing facility. The moment we enter this huge room, I feel a chill run down my spine. I see a gigantic facility that has at least 10 floors. My little friend leads me through one of these floors. To my left and right I see containers that are all connected to each other. In each of these containers I see children in the developmental stage of a human fetus, approximately 34 months. They are swimming in a greenish liquid and hanging from tubes. This liquid looks like amniotic fluid. It is difficult to estimate how many children there are, but there must be thousands. I ask my companion what they are doing with all these children and he says that it has something to do with our future, that a new race is being raised that would ensure the survival of us humans on Earth through their knowledge and nature. He also tells me that they cannot live on Earth at the moment and that they therefore have to raise the children on the spaceship. I ask him why? And he says that our environmental destruction on Earth is so advanced that these children could not yet live on Earth in their current physical state. Their defenses, which we humans automatically have, are not yet stable enough. After we had gone through this cylindrical facility, he leads me further.